It is Friday, June 29th. Let's talk PlayStation. So we're going to kick off this news week with the announcement that there's going to be another Southeast Asia PSX. Now, there's no announcement of this year's PSX. We've had that since 2014, but last year was actually the first PSX for Southeast Asia. They actually did a PSX in Malaysia, which is cool. That means it's a yearly international show now, and this pretty much confirms that this will also be a yearly thing for Southeast Asia, which is great. I love the idea of PSX, right? Sony doing something strictly for fans. You're guaranteed some sort of announcement there, or a handful of announcements, but it's just it's like a PAX, right? Where it's a close gathering of fans. Everybody can get together, kind of enjoy themselves. It'll be a fun 1 or 2 day event. And, they didn't announce where the location is, or when it will be exactly, but basically they've confirmed that there will be another Southeast Asia for 2018. And I would expect some news about this year's PSX to follow up somewhat soon. It would be majorly disappointing if there actually wasn't one for the West this year, but you got to figure there definitely is going to be one, and it'll probably be around December as it often is. So just stay tuned for that. So just recently, the head of Quantic Dream, David Cage, of course, just recently released Detroit Become Human. The game is wildly successful. It's actually the studio's most successful game, which is great. I loved it so much. I actually did finish it finally. Amazing that I actually finished a game, but God, I loved it. Anyway, David Cage recently did a Reddit AMA talking a little bit about, just answering general questions about the studio or the game and things like that. And what's interesting is that he, for the first time in the studio's history, has kind of hinted at the possibility of doing a sequel. Because typically, in recent years and in interviews, the company has been very forward with that they don't want to do sequels. They've refused to do a Heavy Rain 2, a Beyond Two Souls 2, nothing like that, right? The company wants to keep doing brand new stories. But he was recently quoted as saying, "We will work on a sequel if we feel we have ideas, passion, and excitement to do it, and if we feel we have something more to say about this world. We are driven by passion more than anything, and although it is not always something reasonable, but we enjoyed working on Detroit a lot, and there are many more exciting stories that could be told in this world for sure." And then when somebody asked him about the possibility of DLC for Detroit Become Human, he also basically said, "For the people that are wanting a full sequel or character DLCs, the studio will have to make a choice, basically." So essentially, they're definitely exploring future possibilities with Detroit Become Human. Because initially, you would think the company's wrapped up the game. Of course, most staff at the developer will get a leave or a little vacation time, kind of enjoy themselves, recoup, do some bug fixing, patching, you know, little minute stuff like that as the days go on. I think they also did confirm that they want to do a photo mode for the game at some point, but it's just a little difficult because of the nature of the game and how they designed it. But otherwise, you would think that, okay, they're just going to immediately start doing a new game, which they often do, right? They've been very vocal about that. But Detroit was, I think, so good, and it really shows that the studio did enjoy making it a lot. What's more interesting is that I've actually always supported that decision from Quantic Dream. I mean, if I was that developer, you know, and I, you know, worked on 4 or 5 year long projects, I mean, I would start to crave to do something entirely different once the next project comes around. I mean, 4 to 5 years for a game, even 2 to 3 years to make a game, is a significant amount of time. Even if you're at a developer for 10 years, you'd be lucky to ship 3 games, you know? That would seem like a lot in a 10-year period. And 10 years is an extremely significant amount of time. So at my time at a developer, I would like to work on, you know, different things as they come and go. You know, every so often you'd have to imagine there'd be fatigue doing one specific story. You'd want to try and tell a different story. I mean, that's just kind of what creative people often feel like doing, right? You don't necessarily want to go for the sequel right away, unless you really do have a strong passion for that world that you're trying to develop and tell to people. But Quantic Dream was quick to mention that they were never really about the money and they don't want to jump right into a sequel. Of course, they're a business and they want to make money, but you can tell they definitely do approach things in an extremely creative fashion to where they want to do what they want to do. And I think that's why they also have a great working relationship with Sony, because Sony often backs a lot of those developers by saying, you know what, you guys have creative freedom to do whatever you want. You just have our funding and support. And I think that's why those two have always worked so well together. So recently some details came out about Days Gone, and specifically how the resource management kind of works in that game. So the game's director, Jeff Ross, explicitly said that having excessive resources and using those excessive resources, like firing off guns or explosives, can actually negatively impact you, because you're going to be bringing a lot of attention to yourself in that game world. Basically, the game world, they said they're designing kind of a reactionary world where when you're making too much noise or you're firing off too much bullets, you're actually going to attract more freakers. And of course, freakers are the the zombie-like creatures in the game. They're not calling them zombies straight up. They're called Freakers. That's just their choice of what they want to call them. But they're basically saying that if you're trying to fight back constantly or use off a lot of extra stuff, you know what I mean? You're going to have a lot of attention draw closer to you, which what they're trying to do is create a certain level of tension with the player in the game world where you don't really want to constantly be in nonstop action or go in guns blazing, because you could find yourself in a situation where you're getting incredibly overwhelmed by not just Freakers, but also, they said, animals and other human enemies in the game, which is interesting. I think Days Gone, I genuinely feel that this game is going to come out and it's going to be very different from your typical zombie-like game. And that was always immediate from the first gameplay footage we had of the game, where there was just a massive amount of on-screen enemies. And it was one of those things where, and you can see in that footage, there's not really much you can do to stop them. You know, even if you're breaking over obstacles or you're firing off a round of bullets, you're only temporarily stopping them for a few seconds. And I really hope that footage that we saw initially carries through to the whole game. I want it to feel like you're helpless. I mean, that's what a lot of zombie games should feel like. It shouldn't feel like a Dead Rising where you can easily walk away or you can easily get the safety or you can easily overpower everything around you. I want to feel like I'm helpless, and I think that's one aspect of this game that they're trying to accomplish, and I hope they do. So we're going to talk about this new story because it's coming from Jason Schreier at Kotaku, and every time that Jason is always a great investigative journalist when it comes to the video game industry. So anything that he reports on in terms of the sources he has is always something worth discussing. Well, recently he said he's got 5 close sources very close to this project, basically confirming that Google is heavily working on some sort of way to get into the games industry. The actual project that Google's working on is apparently codenamed Yeti, and this is a few things. Most notably, the hardware side of it is very nuts. There's not many rumors basically on the hardware side, or there's not many details about Google specifically entering in with a you know, physical piece of hardware that consumers will go out and buy. But essentially, the main bulk of the rumor right now is that it's a streaming service. And of course, Google is a big conglomerate, right? Google has their pen dipped into a lot of different ink in this world, whether it's, services, web browsers, computers, phones, home, health care, I mean, everything, right? They're such a big company. So anytime that there's news about them possibly entering in a certain market, it's always worth investigating because they've got the capital to enter it if they so choose to do so. And apparently they've been talking to many developers and publishers in recent events like GDC and E3, and they are gauging publisher and developer interest about their possible service, which would be a streaming service. Now, there's not many details about what they would do, right? Well, whether this would be a streaming service that they would offer strictly on the computer or multiple devices, or possibly a device that wouldn't even compete with PlayStation and Xbox, but actually be used on PlayStation and Xbox. But of course, it's typically what you would think, right? This is a streaming service where you are accessing all the processing power from, you know, a cloud, an off-site server, and you're enjoying pretty games, pretty graphics and everything, low latency, all that jazz from whatever device you choose to play from. They're essentially also saying this could be a situation where you've got a Google Chrome web browser, right? And you just open up a new tab to Witcher 3, for example. Like, that's kind of the idea of where this could be or what Google is possibly trying to accomplish. Now, it's interesting because talking about a new company entering in the video game industry is always something to kind of discuss, but it's like, it's always so somewhat hopeless in nature, right? Because it is kind of tough to break into the industry. I mean, it's tough to even stay afloat. Even the big three, right? Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony, they all have their struggles and their downfalls, their failures, and there's just not really a whole lot of wiggle room. And if we're talking streaming services, there's even less wiggle room because the current ones that are even available aren't really doing all that well. And you've got streaming services like OnLive that basically failed. Now, one thing I think we should focus on specifically with Google entering the gaming space is that, yes, they have the capital to do it. Like, if there was any company that could try to squeeze into the games industry, it would be somebody like Google, because they've got the cash flow to do it and burn and just work with as many developers and publishers as they could, build whatever hardware they want, whatever streaming service they want. The fear here, of course, is that Google also has an extremely long history of abandoning projects after just a few years, assuming they don't make any traction or disruption in whatever industry they're trying to get into. That's the thing about Google, is that sometimes they throw so many things at the wall and they just wait for something that sticks. And if it doesn't stick within 2 to 3 years, it slides right down the wall and you never really see it and fades into obscurity. Another thing is, this just kind of mid to long-reaching future of where the games industry is going. Because, of course, as it stands right now, we're looking at possibly PlayStation 5, which, as based on all rumors right now, all accounts, looks like maybe just general traditional video game hardware. $400, $500 box. Extremely powerful. Of course, Sony may have one or two hidden features or something up their sleeves. Of course, they got to make it some... It's got to be different in some way to entice consumers to buy it other than graphics and resolution and frame rate, because it's diminishing returns at this point. Of course, the box is going to be more powerful, but Sony has to do something to entice consumers to upgrade. Microsoft has already openly admitted that they'll have a family of consoles, which would imply a lower-level base model up to an extremely souped-up Xbox, and have openly admitted that they've got a streaming service that they're also working on, so you could play Xbox games possibly anywhere. And then you've got this new Google thing, which is like another, again, streaming service. This maybe would be more intended to PC gamers, or maybe it would just also apply to playing games on the phone. I mean, it just seems like, as of right now, and of course Nintendo's doing a hybrid console, which actually has a lot of success right now, but there's so many different avenues, right? Typically, you don't see it going in so many different directions. I mean, yeah, Sony's focusing on PlayStation Now, but maybe they'll double down on PlayStation Now with PS5, but Sony also has PlayStation VR. Like, there's so many avenues that this could really go. Now, I wouldn't be too crazy to think about it right now, but it is interesting that we have, very heavy sources basically confirming that this is Google really heavily considering getting in it. And for, like, the last 10 years, there's been small rumors about Google entering the games industry, but the fact that they've just recently been doing this, and they've also made some very high-profile hires as well. They've hired a lot of people from the games industry, most notably Phil Harrison. Phil Harrison actually was, I forget his original role at Sony. I think he was either vice president or he was president of Sony Computer Entertainment Europe at the time. I'm pretty sure he was SCE Europe at the time that he was at Sony, and then he was at Microsoft actually for a while too. So he's been at Sony and Microsoft, two major high profile roles, and now he's at Google. They've been doing a lot of hiring, so this definitely is a real thing for sure. But we'll have to wait and see what actually becomes of it. Now for our final news story, yes, another crossplay thing, but it's actually a good recent development. It looks like Sony's finally feeling the fire under their ass, and we've got a little bit of acknowledgement. So just recently from this past week, Sony Interactive Entertainment President and CEO Sean Layden was quoted as saying, "We're hearing it. We're looking at all of the possibilities. You can imagine that the circumstances around around that affect a lot more than just one game. I'm confident we'll get to a solution which will be understood and accepted by our gaming community, while at the same time supporting our business." Oh boy, so let's really unwrap that quote. This basically straight up tells the world, like, listen, you guys have to understand this has to support our business. What's our business? Selling PlayStation 4 consoles. They're openly saying, look, we got the lead here. We were selling a lot of PS4s. We don't want to stop people from buying more PS4s. And also, it goes without saying, but we hadn't touched on it in a while, but I know for a fact when you're playing, for example, Minecraft crossplay, you can actually earn Xbox achievements on the Switch, which is very unusual. And of course, this would definitely not fly with PlayStation because you'd be earning trophies at that point. You don't want to be earning Xbox achievements. You got to actually log in. Like, that definitely is not where, and we've mentioned that, I think, a few months back when that initial story came out about crossplay between Switch and Xbox, which is that you'd need an Xbox Live and it would have full connectivity with Xbox Live and you'd actually earn Xbox achievements. And it's like, well, that's not, of course it's not going to fly with Sony. But there's got to be stipulations here with what Microsoft is wanting out of this situation and what Sony's wanting out of this situation when it comes to actually allowing cross-network play. And Microsoft must be demanding things that, of course, definitely Sony wouldn't be okay with. But someone like Nintendo, who's very impartial, and also Nintendo knows, like, that their console isn't, like, really competing with Microsoft or Sony. Like, they are, but, like Nintendo understands the kind of machine they've built. They know that for a long time now that their machine is not really something that, you know, it's something that people buy alongside a PS4, alongside an Xbox One, or alongside any console for that matter. So Nintendo seems to be, you know, impartial. And of course, it's great that they're actually cooperative, but with Sony, it's of course a different idea. It's just great that they're finally saying, like, look, we get it. We're going to try and do something about it. I just don't understand why it's got to be this difficult, I guess. I mean, we've got probably like, what are we at now? Like 5, 6, upwards of 7 games now where they made major headlines about the games not being cross-network play, but they're cross-network play with Switch, Xbox, PC, phones. You know, we've got a lot of examples now. So this is Sony on multiple occasions not being okay with this. So when you're talking about a game-by-game basis, I mean, it can't be the same situation for every single game. This is Sony definitely not wanting to do this. So this is Sean Layden finally admitting, like, okay, we know what consumers want, and we understand this may hurt us long-term, or this is, you know, what consumers want, and we don't want to piss off our fan base. You know, that's what I was saying last week. Like, this is a different Sony, right? They don't want to go back into that place of 2002 up to 2006 of, you know, development of PlayStation 3 where they're getting cocky and they don't want to work with people and things like that. And they're just doing, really weird shit and making polarizing comments. You know, they don't want to do that anymore. And I think now they're wising up that they don't want to fall back into that sort of area. But again, because of how many games that are involved in this situation, I mean, there's got to be situations where this could easily work for each and every game. Minecraft would certainly be a pretty bad example. Like, that's got to, of course, there's more stipulations to that, certainly, because Microsoft owns Minecraft. So that may be one game we'll never get crossplay for, depending on what kind of requirements, you know, are needed in place, because there's really nothing they can do at that point. That's just, Microsoft owns that. So, but at least there's something, and hopefully it won't take too long for them to, you know, turn this on for Paladins and what were the other games? Fortnite. There's some other MMO. There's a few. Again, there was like a handful of games at this point. Rocket League. You know, it shouldn't be this hard, especially given the fact that so many developers have openly said, oh, yeah, we got it running in a day. We got it running in 2 days. Some games have had it just turned on by accident, you know, like, oh, crap, we've been playing with Xbox players for a few hours. And then they had to instantly turn it off, right? Like, this is simple. It's something that can be done. Sony didn't want it. Now they're finally playing ball here. Like, what's taking so long? Let's get it going. Man, does anybody else have that HDMI flickering issue with Samsung TVs and PS4 Pro? Like, that's exactly when this issue started happening for me. When I picked up the PlayStation 4 Pro in this 49-inch Samsung, I think the model number was KL4900 or something like that. I don't know. I don't remember offhand. But God, it's really annoying. It was doing that the whole time I was recording that video. I was probably showing you a lot of B-roll, but I'm sure a few blackouts dipped in and out or whatever. But yeah, that's a pain in the ass, man. Does anybody else have that? If you have a solution for it, please let me know. Anyway, those are some of the news stories that I wanted to talk about with you guys from this past week. So, sorry I didn't have a video up from earlier. I'll admit, once again, I was really busy. And the fact, even though I had videos filmed and edited, just did not have time to even upload them. You know what's weird is that I'll edit and finish up a video, but I won't make a thumbnail right away. I'll actually make a thumbnail when I upload. So a lot of the times it's like, shit, I don't have enough time to make a custom thumbnail. So then I can't just straight up upload the video because I don't have a thumbnail ready. Because sometimes thumbnails can take anywhere from 10 minutes to half an hour. So I don't know, just busy. I'm sorry. But that long form video I was telling you guys about is going to be done very soon. And Patreon people will get that at least 1 week in advance, just an FYI. It's, as it stands right now, it's probably going to be around 21 to 22 minutes long, but basically I'll tell you right now, it is going to be a long form type documentary about the history of the PlayStation Vita. I did a lot of research on it and it's actually turning out very well. And I think you guys will really enjoy it. It's an awesome, I'm really enjoying it, and I would love to do more long form stuff like that, but God damn, it took a long time to make. It's just how it is. But that'll be, somewhat soon. So I guess 2 weeks out, assuming I finish it this week, because Patreon will get it first. But anyway, that concludes this week's episode of Let's Talk PlayStation. I'm Ryan Benecki. Thank you all so much for talking with me, and I will see you guys next Friday.